Hello and thank you so much for this opportunity to meet again. My name is Pastor Daniel Mesa. I want to thank again Pastor Alan Stump for inviting me to speak with you all there at Smyrna Gospel Ministries for the Camp Meeting 2020. Right now we're going to be looking at Job at the end of time and how he in his story illustrates the 144,000. Take just a short break with me as I kneel. We're going to be able to pray together and we'll have God's blessings as we continue on. Father, thank you for giving us this time. I do pray that you would lead us, that you would enlighten us, that you would help us to prepare for the times that are coming right before us. For we know that the signs around us are showing that we are living at the end of time. I pray that you would empower us to be able to know and understand what it is that your Spirit is saying to the churches, and may we live in accordance with what you reveal. Thank you in Jesus' holy name. Amen. So as was mentioned, Job represents to me the 144,000 at the end of time. The reason being is, the bigger picture was that the Lord, the Son of God, I believe, because there is only one mediator between God and men, and Satan, were having a discussion about how to influence Job as a believer on the earth. So we have this one mediator between God and men, and Satan trying to destroy Job. Well, the whole issue was whether Job would be faithful to God during this trial or not. And so we can see in Job chapter 1 and 2, there's an interaction between the Lord and Satan. And so we can know that the Lord rebuke you, according to Jude, was the Lord Jesus Christ. It was Michael. So Michael's the one that said before, the Lord rebuke you. And in the same sense here, we have a conversation between the Lord, Michael, and Satan. Now, Satan was given opportunity only so far as was in the plan of God to influence or affect or even trouble or bring through trials Job on this earth. The Lord allowed it, but he said, you can only go this far and no further. So we know and understand that God has given such grace that we can be sustained through all the trials that come before us. There has no temptation overtaken you, but such as is common to man. And we know that there is a way of escape out of every temptation because God has promised it. You can see that in 1 Corinthians for yourself. Now, his experience was the earthly focus of the war between Christ and his angels and Satan and his angels. And so you could see that as was mentioned in Job chapter 1, verses 1, or chapters 1 and 2. Now, one of the things you'll find in the story of Job is that all earthly support was cut off. You can see that in Job chapters 1, verse 12, and his response in 21. The Lord said unto Satan, behold, all that he hath is in thy power. In other words, you have power over everything that he has. Only upon himself put not forth thine hand. So Satan, he went forth from the presence of the Lord. And what was Satan doing? Of course, he went to this earth to inflict Job with trials and torture. After the experience, Job said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So we can see, according to this story of Job, that God was faithful to keep Job just where you would expect him to be, right under his wings, under the shadow of the Almighty. How did he do it? Well, he allowed Satan and his angels to go inflict Job, and he had sent his angels as well to protect him from the snare of the fowler. So notice it says in Revelation 13, verse 15, he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause, that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell except he that had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. Notice, in the last great conflict of the controversy with Satan, those who are loyal to God will see every earthly support cut off, because they refuse to break his law in obedience to earthly powers. They will be forbidden to buy or sell, as it says in Revelation 13, verses 11 through 17. it will finally be decreed that they shall be put to death. But to the obedient is given the promise, he shall dwell on high, his place of defense shall be the munitions of rocks, bread shall be given him, his waters shall be sure, according to Isaiah 33:16. By this promise, the children of God will live. Now, I'm hoping that the bread that's promised is gluten-free bread, because I am allergic to wheat and the various things that are in that, whether there be the herbicides, fungicides, pesticides, and all the other stuff that they've put in there. Thank you, Monsanto. But what's happened is God has promised us that our bread will be sure, gluten-free bread, and our water will be available. Now, that doesn't mean we're not going to hunger. There will be times where we will be hungering. There will be times where we'll be put into prisons. We will be tortured. There are lots of things that were coming on, but in the future for us. But we don't focus on those things as much. We draw near unto God, and he will draw near unto us. And by drawing near unto God, we are able to resist the devil. God has taken care of many people in the past that have gone through trials that we are planning to go on through in our future, and God will be with us just like he was with them. So keep faithful, never turn from the Lord your Savior. Now we can see, according to the Bible, that the name Job actually means hated or persecuted. You could see it for yourself, Strong's Hebrew number 0347. Now these things I have spoken unto you, Jesus said, that you shall not be offended. They shall put you out of the synagogues, something that's happening around the world right now because of Jesus Christ being the Son. And yea, the time cometh that whosoever kills you will think that he is doing God service. And these things they will do unto you because they have not known the Father nor me. And so the whole gospel, we are told, is life eternal, summed up in this, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. And that, of course, is John 17, verse 3. So we can know that those who do not know God and the one that he had sent personally as the one true God that has a son, they will be persecuting those who are believers. And we know that the troubles that come to us will come from our own spiritual family. It is very serious to understand some of these things at this time in Earth's history. Now, Job was unique in all the earth, in that he was perfect, upright, feared God, and eschewed evil, according to chapter 1, verse 8. Well, we know that there's going to be another group of people at the end of time that have a very similar experience. We can see them in Revelation 14, verse 1. I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on Mount Sion, and with him 144,000, having his father's name written in their foreheads. Verse 2, I heard a voice from heaven, as a voice of many waters, and the voice of great thunder. And I heard the voice of harpers harping with their harps, and they sung as it were a new song before the throne and before the four beasts and the elders. And no man could learn that song but the 144,000 which were redeemed from the earth. These are they which were not defiled with women, for they are virgins. These are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. These were redeemed from among men, being the firstfruits unto God and unto the Lamb. And in their mouth was found no guile, for they are without fault before the throne of God, and from the great controversy, 6:14, when he leaves the sanctuary, darkness covers the inhabitants of the earth. In that fearful time, the righteous must live in the sight of a holy God without an intercessor. So we know that there will be those holy people on the earth. They live with the seal of God. They have chosen not to sin. They love Christ so much that they would rather die than willingly commit sin, even in the realm of their thoughts. These are the people that God is looking for. And those are the kind of people that I want to be. Those are the kind of people that I hope you are striving to be. We should be standing tall with the Lamb on Mount Sion right now in heavenly places in Christ by faith, because we will be there in the future. I'm looking forward to that. And so we know that Job was a person that eschewed evil. He was perfect. He was upright. That's just what his people, God's people, will be at the end of time. We know that that picture of the 144,000 will be they that give that loud cry, that last message, the three angels' messages again, found in Revelation 14, 6 through 7, and also Revelation 18, 1 through 4. Come out of her, my people, to live the truth that's described in this three angels' messages. You can see that in the book of Job, chapter 1, verse 19, the four corners are mentioned. See, the four corners of one of the houses was smitten. We know also that the four corners of the earth are mentioned in the time of the end scenarios of Ezekiel and also the book of Revelation. Ezekiel 7, it says in verse 2, Thou, son of man, thus saith the Lord God unto the land of Israel, an end, the end is come upon the four corners of the land. And we know that chapter 8 and chapter 9 follow chapter 7. So this is actually describing something very similar to what we find in Revelation chapter 7, verse 1. I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree. And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, Hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. So we know the four winds were mentioned there. We know the four winds were mentioned also in Ezekiel, or four corners at least. This represents the north, east, south, and west. And the four corners, of course, would refer to a very similar scenario. And we understand that we should especially seek God for grace and power to be given his people now. He will find grace and power is given by the ministration of holy angels. God lives, and we do not believe that the time has fully come when he would have our liberties restricted. The prophet saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor any tree. Another angel ascending from the east cried to them, saying, Hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. This points out the work we have to do, which is to cry to God for the angels to hold the four winds until missionaries shall be sent to all parts of the world and shall have proclaimed the warning against disobeying the law of Jehovah. But every conceivable thing that the enemy can bring against the people of God to hinder them in their work will be employed. The Lord, on the other hand, bids all to awake and to watch, for it was while men slept that the enemy sowed tares. From 1888. Job looked like he was in the wrong. He was the minority. He also had his wife against him. His friends were against him. You'll notice, as it says in one of the writings here, Job chapter 2, verse 9, and also 5, verse 17. It says, Then his wife said unto him, Dost thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die, she said. And then, of course, 5, verse 17, Behold, happy is the man whom God correcteth. Therefore despise not thou the chastening of the Almighty. We see that Job was already under the protection of the Almighty. He was under the protection of his wings. And we know that the enemy was doing all that he could to break this person, Job. We know that Job was perfect and upright and eschewed evil, but the devil was doing everything he could to try to break him from his commitment to God. In the same way, we are going to be trying to be broken from our commitment to God. It is not an easy thing that we're going to be looking forward to. We must have Christ in us that has already overcome the enemy, else we will fall. So we know that before the sealing occurs, there will be plenty of time for the trials of God's people, where we will go through very serious scenarios. I cannot foretell, I cannot prophesy, but I know that according to Scripture, it's going to be ugly for God's people. So knowing that Job seemed to be in the minority, knowing that he seemed to be in the wrong, consider people like Abram. Consider people like Joseph or Noah. What about Lot, Esther, Daniel in chapter 6, the faithful three, the Hebrews, in chapter 3. Remember Mordecai and Jeremiah, Christ and the apostles. These are people that had a real commitment to God during the times of trial, and God was able to bless every single one of them as they stood faithful. Each of these could, in their own microcosm, represent the 144,000. And so Job is one of those pictures that helps us understand what we must go through during this trial that we will all face between the war that's going on between Christ and his angels and Satan and his angels. You may say, so you believe that all the learned world is wrong and that a poor company, greatly in minority, looked upon as ignorant common people, are all that will be saved? I answer, Jesus was among the lowly of the earth. He did not take his position by the side of the learned rabbis or the rulers. He was not found among the potentates of earth, but among the lowly ones. The truth was never found among the majority. It was ever found among the minority. And we can know that God has always, in these stories that I mentioned earlier, had a faithful minority that have been willing to stand with and for him during the trials that came upon them. And they too were under the shadow of the Almighty. They were trusting under his wings. And we can do the same thing today. So Job was searching his heart to find out what he had done that was wrong, something that will be going on with God's people at the end of time. Notice what it says in Job 6:24. Teach me and I will hold my tongue, and cause me to understand wherein I have erred. So Job was praying to the Lord, asking for his blessings. So that was found in Job 6:24. Jeremiah 30 verse 7 says, alas, for that day is great, so that none is like it. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble. But we must remember, he shall be saved out of it. We are planning on going into this trial, into these troubles, into the destruction of things on our left side and on our right, but it will not come near you. We must understand, in being prepared for that time. You remember, Jacob was a man in the time of Jacob's trouble, where he had been told by God, I will bring you again to this border. And he had gone his own way and had continued with the Lord for some time. But when he was coming back to his border, when he heard that his brother was coming, that was the time of Jacob's trouble. Now, he could believe two things. He could believe the word that God had said, I will bring you back. Or he could believe the word of the messenger, hey, this really evil, upset brother, your brother is coming to get you. And so he had a choice to believe either God's word or the word of his brother. He was struggling with what to believe at that time. He was really going through a trial. We must have, in the same way, a sure understanding of what God has taught us so that we will know to listen to the voice of the Lord, that we will come again to our border instead of the voice of the enemy saying, I'm going to destroy you before you get there. So it's really about the belief that we have of the word of God or the word of the enemy. And so notice what it says here in this write-up. In the days of peril, those who have been unfaithful in their duties of life and whose mistakes and sins of neglect are registered against them in the book in heaven, unrepentant and unforgiven, will be overcome by Satan. And so it is extremely important for us to turn away from our sins today, right now. Everyone is to be tested and severely tried. Satan will exert all his energies and call to his aid his evil host, so those are the angels and also humans, who will exercise all their experience, artifice, and cunning to deceive souls and wrest them from the hands of Jesus Christ. He makes them believe that they may be unfaithful in the minor duties of life, and God will not see, God will not notice, but that being who numbers the hairs of our head and marks the fall of the little sparrow notices every deviation from truth, every departure from honor and integrity in both secular and religious things. These errors and sins corrupt the man and disqualify him for the society of heavenly angels. By his defiled character, he has placed himself under the flag of another angel, Satan. The arch-deceiver has power over this class. The more exalted their profession, the more honorable the position they have held. The more grievous their course in the sight of God, the more sure the triumph of Satan. These will have no shelter in the time of Jacob's trouble. We must turn away from our sins. Their sins will then appear of such magnitude that they will have no confidence to pray, no heart to wrestle, as did Jacob. On the other hand, those who have been of like passion, erring and sinful in their lives, but who have repented of their sins and in genuine sorrow confessed them, will have pardon written against their names in the heavenly records. They will be hid in the day of the Lord's anger. Satan, an angel, will attack this class, but like Jacob, they have taken hold of the strength of God, and, true to his character, he is at peace with them, and sends angels to comfort and to bless and sustain them in their time of trouble and peril. The time of Jacob's trouble will test everyone and distinguish the genuine Christian from the one who is so only in name. And so the enemy is going to do everything he can to try to destroy, defeat, and cause our destruction. We cannot surrender to the enemy now, else we will surrender to him in the future. We must turn from those things that are dark and carnal and black and evil. We must turn to the light, to righteousness, to truth and purity. And so the enemy has been able to do almost everything against Job except take his life. We can see in Job chapter 2, verse 6, that God said, "You can do anything to him, but do not take his life." Psalm 91, verse 7, what does it say? It says, 1,000 shall fall at thy side and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Why not? Because the Lord has not allowed it to come nigh thee. And so God is gracious. God is merciful. He loves us and he wants us to be safe and blessed. That's really the goal that God has for us. But there is an enemy in this world that's going to do everything he can to try to take us away from that grasp that God wants to place us within. Remember, we are hid with Christ in God. And so we have this blessing of God surrounding us through his Son, the only mediator between God and men, and we can be safe there. So let's understand that the heavenly sentinels are faithful to their trust, and they will continue their watch. Though a general decree has fixed the time when commandment keepers may be put to death, their enemies will in some cases anticipate the decree, and before the time specified will endeavor to take their lives. But none can pass the mighty guardians, angels, stationed about every faithful soul. Some are assailed in the flight from the cities and villages, but the swords raised against them break and fall powerless as straw. Others are defended by angels in the form of men of war. I remember looking at that section there in the Great Controversy and just wondering, men of war? I mean, the way we see men of war today is they're dressed in fatigues. They're dressed in like black suits with machine guns. And I'm thinking, men of war, how do we describe that? Well, in the story of the kings, we see in 2 Kings, where the servant of Elisha was saying, "What do we do? We're surrounded by people. We're surrounded by people. These armies are surrounding us." Well, remember, he asked the Lord to open his eyes, and the servant was able, after the Lord opened his eyes, to see that there were men or angels there with chariots of war. And we know they must have been dressed as men of war. And so, just as it was in the Old Testament, it will be in the New Testament. We will be protected and surrounded by angels dressed as men of war. I think all the principles of the Bible can be shown in the writings of Sister White and vice versa. It's amazing how God has blessed us with that gift. Now, though Job was in the minority and he was in question, he was the one that had it right. Job 1 verse 22 actually says that. "In all this Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly." Micah 7 verse 5, "Trust not in a friend. Put not confidence in a guide. Keep the doors of thy mouth from her that even lies in your bosom," the one that's in your beds, because sometimes those that are in your house are the ones that are against you. "For the son dishonoreth the father, the daughter rises up against her mother, the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies are the men of his own house." I was mentioning that earlier, and we know that in the home and in the church, it is the same thing. Notice what it says in Matthew 10:35, "I am come to set a man at variance against his father, the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foes shall be they of his own household, in the church and in the home. He that loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he that loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. It will be difficult at the end of time to be a Christian. You will be having what we see today as coming up into popularity again, snitches or informers, telling people about you and your practices, giving you over to the authorities, like contract tracers, if you will, or like those in the olden times as informers. People will be given over to the prisons and over to death by those that are near to the believers. I fear for that time. I praise God, have a family who believes, but we have neighbors, we have other family members, we have friends that who knows what is in our hearts. May we be faithful in everything that comes our way. Job was willing to serve God in good and in bad. You can see that principle through these verses right here. He said unto his wife, "Thou speakest as one of the foolish women speak. What, shall I receive good at the hand of God, and shall not receive evil?" In all this did not Job sin with his lips. And he said later, "Though he slay me, yet I will trust in him, but I will maintain mine own ways before him." And that's why the angel of the Lord is to keep us in our own ways, as it says in Psalm 91. Job 23:12, "Neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food." And that is to be our experience at the end of time. We are to be those that hold on to God no matter what happens. We're to be those that are able to sing the song of Moses and the Lamb. We are going to be able to be delivered from Babylon and or Egypt, and we'll be able to experience the deliverances just as the children of Israel did in the old times in the Old Testament. Notice as we read Revelation 15:2-3, "I saw as it were a sea of glass mingled with fire, and them that had gotten victory over the beast, and over his image, and over his mark, and over the number of his name, stand on the sea of glass, having the harps of God. And they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, Great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints. Who shall not fear thee, O Lord, and glorify thy name? For thou art holy. For all nations shall come and worship before thee, for thy judgments are made manifest." So ultimately, after the victory of faith, Job was rewarded with more than he could ever have imagined. Notice what it says here in chapter 42, verse 10. It says, "The Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. Also, the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before." And so we know that Job was honored in the times that he was living with twice as much as he had already had before. He was already a very wealthy man. But going through this experience in the way that proved that his heart was right and completely surrendered over to God and not to himself or to the enemy, it shows me that we too can have that same experience. And here on this earth, you have likely had enough food, you've had enough water, you've been able to live to this point to where you could see and understand this video that we're interacting with right now. You have been blessed, and God is faithful. He is just. He is going to give you just that much and much, much more as we enter into the gates of heaven. Notice what the Bible says. "He showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him, and they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads, and there shall be no night there, and they have no need of the candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever." One more thought here. Enfeebled and defective, needing constantly to be warned and counseled, the church is nevertheless the object of Christ's supreme regard. The church is those who hold to his truth, not an organization. He is making experiments of grace on the human hearts, and is effecting such transformations of character that angels are amazed and express their joy in songs of praise. They rejoice to think that sinful, erring human beings can be so transformed. I want my life to be one that makes angels amazed. I want to be able to be transformed and used by God in such a way that I bring joy to the heart of the Father, the Son, and the holy angels in heaven. I want to be a blessing. I want to be like that Job, like that character that lives perfect and upright and eschewing evil in the midst of an unrighteous and untoward generation. I want to be one of those that stands tall with the Lamb on Mount Zion, having gone through the victory of overcoming the beast and his image and the number of his name. I want to be one of those standing right now who says, "Yes, Lord, I want to serve you." If you want to be like that, then I'm asking for you to make that decision right now. Say, "God, please help me to be one of those people that gives you the glory, you the honor." And then when people look at me, they will see God. They will see you. They will see your Son. And so bow with me. Ask God to bless us that we can be those people at this time in Earth's history. Heavenly Father, I want to ask that you'd please continue to lead us, that we can understand what it is that your Spirit is saying to the churches so that we can be accepting of those words and be transformed, to be given the opportunity to live in the sight of a holy God without an intercessor, and to experience the trials and the troubles, but still, even through all those times, we would not sin. We'd be able to prove that you can have a people on this earth to vindicate your character, and that you will be glorified and praised. Great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints. Please continue to receive our praise and live your life out through us. O Jesus, King of kings, we thank you in your name. Amen.